The Vox Markets Podcast with Justin Waite. Nothing in this podcast is intended as investment advice, and the people in this podcast may hold positions in the stocks they talk about. Do not buy anything based solely on a tip or recommendation. Please do your own research.
And joining me on the podcast right now is Simon Potter, Chief Executive Officer of Bahamas Petroleum Company, BPC. His ticker there. Simon, thanks for joining me.
Good morning. How are you?
Yeah, I'm good. And you've had a busy couple of months since we last spoke, so it's good to get an update on what you've been doing. Before we get into that, Simon, for people maybe not familiar, give us a brief summary for Bahamas, because you've got lots going on there.
Okay, well, I guess as the name suggests, I mean, hitherto we've had exploration acreage just located in the Bahamas, but in the middle of 2020, in the middle of lockdown, we merged with Columbus, which then gave us production, near-term production, appraisal, and development options in Trinidad and in Suriname. Over and above that, we also, during lockdown, took exploration acreage in Uruguay. So a much more diversified portfolio than just the Bahamas in the region.
Yeah, absolutely. And I know you've, like you said, a lot of upcoming activities in Trinidad and Suriname to talk about, but I suspect, you know, people and shareholders want to hear about the Perseverance well you recently finished in the Bahamas. Can you tell us what happened there then?
Yeah, sure. Well, the first thing, I guess, is to say that we drilled it safely and in compliance with our EIA and our EMP. We drilled from sort of late December through into February, targeting Albian and Aptian reservoirs. The we drilled to 3,900 meters, and the Albian looks like a deeper water facies than we were really hoping. But in terms of the Aptian reservoir, we confirmed the trap, the structure, obviously. We confirmed the seal, the reservoir, and the residual sort of uncertainties were around charge and migration. We did encounter hydrocarbons from the logs, which was calibrated, which was confirmed, corroborated by gas chromatograph. And a couple of important conclusions in terms of the geothermal gradient, so how hot or cool the basin is. It's always been thought of as a cool basin. Mm. We were able to confirm temperatures such that we believe the source rock is well and truly in the oil window. And indeed, in drilling the well itself, we confirmed that notwithstanding previous wells that have taken over 200 days to drill and had huge losses whilst drilling, we confirmed that we could drill it safely and commercially with modern technologies and the well plan that we had.
Yeah, yeah. And in your recent or most recent RNS, you advise that the well cost more than planned. Can you explain what happened there then?
Yeah, sure. There were really two factors. One, not surprisingly, we were drilling with a huge headwind called COVID. You know, what that meant for us was that we had a rigorous set of protocols where we kept people quarantined in hotels. It meant additional chartered flights and helicopters in order to, keep COVID from the rig. And what it meant was that we managed to catch, if that's the right word to use, 14 positive COVID individuals trying to get onto the rig. So a very positive outcome there. The thing that we underestimated, I guess, was people that would transit back and forth to the rig, they couldn't do that because of the time that it took to transit. So we had to keep an awful lot of equipment and people on the installation that we would have usually moved backwards and forwards. The other aspect was sidetracking. Unfortunately, a piece of equipment was dropped down the hole, a piece of high tensile steel, which meant that we had to sidetrack around that in order to drill the well. So in combination, those two elements sort of added about $10 million to the original $35 million projected cost. But I guess, we persevered, we drilled the well. And just a reminder, the original cost estimates from earlier in my tenure here, we thought it was going to cost $100 million. So we did it for less than half that.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. Now, given the well results, as you say, it was not commercial. Are you still interested in the Bahamas now, or is that over with?
Oh, yes. Yeah, I mean, we've spent $150 million here, and so we're looking to monetize that with the modern information that we've collected, the well results in conjunction with the seismic. So looking to farm that out. And renew the license in the middle of the year. That renewal is subject to a relinquishment, but just a reminder for shareholders, you know, it's a huge area. You know, even after relinquishment, it'll still be 6,000 square kilometres. And of course, there's lots of anecdotes about how long it took to find the oil in the North Sea or Alaska, and how long it takes to find the biggest discovery in those basins. So, yeah, we're hugely optimistic. I think certainly with the new geochemical data and placing the Jurassic source in the oil window, we think that certainly the new play type is with us. Jurassic clastics deeper into the section. So, yeah, full of optimism around new closures, new structures that we haven't drilled. So, yeah, lots of optimism in renewing that license.
Yeah, marvellous stuff. Okay, let's move to Trinidad then. You have drilling plans soon, the Saffron 2 well. So what should shareholders watch out for from this well, Simon?
Yeah, this is quite exciting. I mean, it's in direct contrast to the Perseverance well, Saffron's onshore. It's a twin of a well drilled by Columbus roughly a year ago now. So we've utilised the same well pad to reduce costs, but equally it gives us a high sort of certainty as to the geology that we're going to encounter. We've targeted the well slightly down dip at a thicker reservoir section, and it'll take 30 days to drill starting in sort of mid-May and cost us around $3 million. And of course, in contrast, again, to Perseverance, that $3 million includes a completion, so we can actually produce oil out of this well. So we're hoping for between 200 and 300 barrels a day, which you know, may sound modest, but our current production sits at about 450 to 500 barrels a day. So this would add 50%. To our current production base. And, you know, the important thing is being onshore with a short cycle time, we can monetize that very quickly. And we're thinking that this could generate nearly $2 million of incremental cash during the course of this year. In the event of success, we could then follow on with a broader development of Saffron, which could be between 5 and 9 wells during the course of 2021. That's all dependent on rigs, approvals, you know, can we clear the pads, that kind of thing. And if we manage to get that kind of level of wells drilled, then it could be over 1,000 barrels a day to us by the end of the year, which, again, you know, by the end of the year could be on an annualized basis yielding $8 to $12 million. And of course, that's a portent to a full field development, which could be up to 30 wells. Our reservoir modeling indicates up to 4,000 barrels a day, which would yield $25 million of cash per year. So, yeah, so exciting times in Trinidad. Another well coming along within the next month or two. And in direct contrast to the Bahamas, onshore, cheaper, and straight into production.
Yeah, absolutely. And apart from Saffron 2, what can you tell us about the rest of your business there in Trinidad, then, Simon?
Well, we've got a number of production optimization projects. So we're using our two owned rigs. We're up to the kind of workover rate that Columbus were achieving a couple of years ago, 180 a year. We're trying to focus more on interventions that allow us to add perforations to sweep unswept oil rather than fixing stuff. We're also looking to kind of catch up with other operators in Trinidad with an automation project that we're doing with Weatherford that essentially automates the production systems, the pumps, etc. And then over and above that, we're continuing with the CO2 injection project. And then really, Saffron lookalikes. You know, how many other Saffrons are there out there? How many pockets of sort of 9 to 10 million barrels are there for us to sweep up in the southwest peninsula of Trinidad? So we've reprocessed the 3D and are working hard on highlighting potential prospects that we can drill later in the year.
Yeah, absolutely. And anything else going on for the rest of the portfolio in Suriname and Uruguay?
Well, in Suriname, we're held up a bit by COVID. We're looking to manage the project in Suriname out of Trinidad, but being able to move our people over there at the moment is difficult with the various restrictions applying to COVID. But that being said, we've identified the potential well site. We've scoped out the owners. We've got rig contracts are out. So we're ready to drill there. And that's relatively simple. That's down to 1,000 meters. It's $400,000. It's an extended well test. We'll drill into what we think is an pocket of unswept oil, produce that and sell it to the local refinery. Uruguay, that's very much like the Bahamas, high impact offshore exploration. We did scoping analysis before we took the license, and we've been encouraged by work being done by ANCAP, the regulator, that confirms the sort of level of prospectivity within the license area. We thought around 1 billion barrels was appropriate, and they themselves have identified the Lentea prospect, and they've identified 1.4 billion barrels of recoverable oil there. So, yeah, so lots of work going on in other parts of the portfolio.
Yeah, it seems like, you know, you have full slate of activity the rest of 2021, notwithstanding the outcome of Perseverance 1. An obvious question then, you know, following on here is, you know, are you funded for it all?
Well, clearly, we've got a whole bunch of uses, let's say, in the sense that we still got bills to pay with regard to cleaning up the Perseverance 1 drilling project. Then we've got the Saffron 2, and as I sort of highlighted, a whole number of other options. So we've got, you know, between $25 and $40 million of uses. So, you know, what are the sources? You know, a reminder though that we have these interests at 100%. So in terms of the pace and the extent to which we carry them out, that's entirely within our own decisions. So that's why there's a range on that uses figure. But in terms of sources, well, of course, you know, given that we've got production, we actually receive cash. And that's over and above the cash that we have at the moment. As at the start of March, we had $13 million in the bank. We had a $14 million undrawn convertible. And then, as I've highlighted, we're looking to farm out the Bahamas prospect, monetize that interest. We've got a project that we're looking at whereby we can forward sell the oil in a prepay project, prepay kind of contract. And of course, you know, there's always other aspects of the portfolio that has been used before where, you know, other companies have a bit of, you know, we've been able to drill for equity, shall we say. We drill and we provide equity to the suppliers of these things. So, you know, certainly a rich portfolio of uses, but quite a range of sources, and we'll cut our cloth accordingly.
Yeah. Let's say that not many, you know, small companies have managed to put together a funding strategy to pull off activities that you have, you know, 100% interest in a frontier exploration well. But there's, you know, there's been some negative commentary of certain aspects. Any thoughts on that, Simon?
Well, sure. I guess we've always, you know, tried to articulate our strategy with regard to funding, and we've always sought to have a range of facilities that gave us a whole series of options. But the most important part of it was with regard to the timing of those options. What we always wanted was, you know, not to be paying for a facility until we needed it. And of course, we didn't need most of these facilities until drilling commenced. And it would be at that time that we would enact these facilities. Well, of course, you know, we get through to Christmas and we encounter somewhat the perfect storm. We have a rig arriving. Christmas has intervened and we have uncertainty. We were taken through the courts where a group of individuals sought to prevent us from drilling with an injunction. And so this uncertainty meant that a number of the funding options that we put together actually then became not available. And of course, at that time, you do what you can do. And so you know, access to hedge fund capital is not cheap. But they were able to provide it quickly. And so in that context, we did what we had to do. And indeed, we got the well drilled.
Yeah, Absolutely. Marvellous stuff. Well, Simon, let's have three reasons. If someone's liking the sound of what you're doing, the activities across the portfolio, but are not yet following the story, give them those three quick reasons why they should hit that follow button and add you to their watch list, please.
Well, I think the first thing would be news flow. I mean, hopefully I've been able to highlight a full slate of activity for 2021, but commencing within the next month or two with Saffron. But then after that, there's the potential to do the Saffron development, Saffron lookalikes, and then the extended well test. So, you know, a full slate, and it's in the immediate short term. The second thing would be the share price. Since drilling Perseverance, the share price has fallen quite considerably. And indeed, it's fully underpinned now by the existing production activities that we have in Trinidad. Mm. So the third thing would be upside. Over and above that share price that's underpinned by production, everything is gravy, as it were. Everything is upside. So Saffron, Bahamas, Uruguay, and the Suriname outcomes are additive to where that current share price is. So strong news flow, a modest share price at the moment, but then strong upside to be priced in.
Excellent stuff, Simon. It's good to chat to you, and hopefully we'll be catching up in the not-too-distant future. Thanks very much.
Thank you.
The Vox Markets Podcast with Justin Waite. Nothing in this podcast is intended as investment advice, and the people in this podcast may hold positions in the stocks they talk about. Do not buy anything based solely on a tip or recommendation. Please do your own research.